holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and who is and who is to come. Amen. Before I get to the scriptures for today's message, I want to mention, I need to mention, first of all, this is going to be a bit longer today because we're going to incorporate into the message the Athanasian Creed, and you will speak it. If it's in your heart, don't feel constrained, but if it is, speak these words with us, and we'll use the sermon message here today to show its basis in Scripture. More of a kind of teachy sermon message today, teaching. Maybe at the start a little more academic and scholastic, but let's get right into it. It's on your insert, and it is also on the screen. Speak with me again if it's what you believe. Together, whoever desires to be saved must, above all, hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will without doubt perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. And the texts are multiple. We're going to use all three of the main readings today in a little different order. Matthew 28, Genesis 1, Acts chapter 2. Matthew 28, of course, is the great commission Jesus gave. Go and make disciples of all peoples. Genesis 1 is the creation account. I'm going to tie in John chapter 1 also. And Acts chapter 2 is Peter's Pentecost sermon, the middle of it, continuing from last week. We had the start of the Pentecost season. I got the title for this sermon from the Athanasian Creed. We've already kind of said this in some of our prayers and the opening entrance verse, Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity. It does sound kind of like a classroom here today and a little bit circular, Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity. You could almost go on forever like Shinner. But it's important. These words delineate exactly what we see in Scripture about the one true God. This is a fundamental teaching of the faith without which there is no Christian faith. You carry it to the conclusion. If you believe in a different God, everything else falls apart. Now, there are explanations on the insert. For instance, that word Catholic at the start, it'll come up again, does not mean Roman Catholic Church based in Rome with the Pope. It's used in its basic sense. Catholic means universal, spread throughout. If a disease is Catholic, it's spread to everybody. We hold the Catholic faith, the universal faith of all Christians, and they with us. And the teaching is, I think, clear here in Matthew chapter 28. That means there is one God and yet three persons. Jesus gave the commission, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Baptize in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Put yourself in the place of those early disciples, although it did note some of them doubted. Amazingly, Jesus had risen from the dead. Satan worked in them and also can with us. But they knew. There is one God. There can only be one God. You can't be a person of the old, our Old Testament, and believe in multiple gods. It's heresy. That's what marked the Jews, and still today, as unique amongst other religions. Deuteronomy 6, verse 4. I share in our class on the fundamentals. I hope you join us. Is the most important verse in Scripture for the Jews, and it is also in some ways for us, the great Shema, which means hear. Shema Yisrael, hear, O Israel, the Lord, that's really the word, the name Yahweh, the Lord Yahweh, the Lord our God, Yahweh is one. There aren't multiple gods. And yet, Jesus says here, go and baptize in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, those early disciples would say, okay, Father, we know, yeah, God. You've been telling us about the Father, God, Jesus, in the 3 years they were with him. Son, you, Jesus, you're the Son, and we know you're God too. You're risen from the dead. And Holy Spirit, they know the Holy Spirit. Jesus had promised the Holy Spirit to them just days earlier. It's clear, three in one. Even the one is clear here too. If you parse the grammar carefully, did you notice what Jesus said? Baptize in the name, singular. And then he lists three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. My freshman English teacher would have put a big red mark around that. But that's the Trinity, beyond our explanation. There are not three gods, but one God. And yet there are three persons, each fully and completely God, distinct one from another, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we just repeat that. So do it with me in the main part of the Athanasian Creed together. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated, the Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite, the Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated or three infinites, but one uncreated and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty, and yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God, and yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord, and yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another. None is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. And we try to show that with graphics or with analogies. By the way, none of them can suffice. None. I've never seen a one. Usually they slip into some little heretical heresy, right? But this is the best we can do. Father is God, Son is God, Holy Spirit is God, and the Father isn't the Son. Or the Son, or the Spirit, just a manifestation of the Son. That's called modalism. They are each distinctly God and yet one God. The Trinity, it means triune, three in one. We use that word from outside the Bible, yes, to describe this God we're seeing even today in the Bible. Not only clearly here in Matthew 28, you can also see the three persons in 2 Corinthians 13, the grace of the Lord Jesus and the love of God, implying the Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Trinity there. But in the Old Testament, there too is the Trinity. And I think especially in the Old Testament, you can see one other aspect of knowing the Trinity. More important, actually, than just the academics or theology. Genesis chapter 1. The basic creation account you heard has all three persons of the Trinity there working at creation. Now, two may be obvious to you. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and we especially attribute, scripture elsewhere calls him the creator of all things, the Father. And in verse 2, the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. The Holy Spirit is there. And elsewhere in Scripture, the Spirit is called creative. And the Son is there too. But you need John chapter 1. I hope you know this. If not, don't feel bad. John chapter 1 begins the same way, intentionally by inspiration. Here it is. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God in the Godhead, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. And here it says it. All things were made through him, and without him was not anything made that was made. The Son of God, the second person of the Trinity. By the way, we know that is Jesus there, because in verse 14 of John chapter 1, John wrote, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. That Word, that Son of God, is obviously in Genesis. And God said, the emanation of his Word. There's the Son. And continuing from that point onward, the Trinity is working. You know, we sometimes, Lutherans like to put things in boxes. We emphasize, even in the other creeds, that the Father is the creator, the Son is the redeemer, the Holy Spirit, the sanctifier, the one who makes us holy. But the Bible is clear, all three are involved in all, like the Son with creation here and the Spirit. The Father accepted his Son's redemption, the payment on the cross. The Holy Spirit, we heard a couple of weeks ago here at St. Paul in 1 Peter chapter 3, the Holy Spirit was involved in the resurrection of Jesus. 1 Peter 3, he was made alive by the Spirit. And the Father and Son are involved in your sanctification, you being made holy. That just means special and separate, set apart. Your God is doing all this work, creating you, and then when humans, after this first and second chapters, destroyed God's creation, he restored it through the promised Savior. He did everything necessary. Please know there's nothing else to be done. On the cross and risen from the dead, it is finished. All sin and guilt, yours, mine, the whole world's, is covered by the blood of Jesus. And for everyone, as a gift, there is that eternal life. Again, perfect, like we saw in the Garden of Eden. And God is setting you apart for that, spreading that through you to others. That is a better way to know, not intellectually alone, but to know intimately your God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. It's in the Athanasian Creed, God acting for your salvation, in the next big section. So please say it with me. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age, perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One not by conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God, one altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. That graphic is on your insert. It's got the Hebrew words for Father, Son, Holy Spirit on it. And the name Yahweh, we substitute, according to the ancient tradition, the word Lord in our Old Testaments. But there is your God. You'll hear it at the end of the service. The Lord, Yahweh, bless you and keep you. Yahweh, make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. Yahweh, lift up his countenance on you and give you peace. Numbers chapter 6. That blessing we hear every week is Trinitarian. But there's more, and something even more personal to this Trinitarian theology. Indeed, it is not just scholastics, academics. And there needs to be more than just God's action towards you, creation, redemption, sanctification. Acts chapter 2, Peter's Pentecost sermon, mentions all three persons of the Trinity. Did you notice that as it was read? Kind of throughout, but especially in verse 33, talking about Jesus being therefore exalted at the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. There again, you see God working for these people and these people, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Father's plan and foreknowledge sent his Son. Jesus died and rose for us, and the Spirit is poured out. And it was prophesied even by David in the Old Testament. But Peter continues. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. He gets personal. And one way or the other, for every person here, I can say without exception from God's word, there will need to be a response. I'll share what these people did and continue this. When they heard this, they were cut to the heart. If nothing else, they thought, the person we killed is alive again. Think of that. But they knew what they had done. And they said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They knew they were accountable to the awesome, almighty, triune God for killing the Messiah. And so are you. So am I. The Athanasian Creed talks about this, and I'll explain these words. Please speak with me. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds, and those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the sentence that needs the most explanation in the creed, because we teach and believe, I think all Christians do, that you don't do good in order to earn eternal life, right? And indeed, sinners who have done evil are forgiven by Christ and have eternal life. That doesn't say that you earn eternal life. Look at it carefully. Again, freshman English. Parse that sentence. It doesn't say that. It says those who have done good will enter into eternal life. Our good deeds don't earn our relationship with God, but they do show what God has done. All through Scripture, it emphasizes that our good works are evidence of the heart of repentance and trusting in Jesus. Jesus pictured the final judgment in Matthew 24, the king on his throne with the sheep and the goats, you know that? And he said to those on his right, come you blessed by my Father. Again, it's God's where he was blessing them. Come inherit the kingdom prepared for you. God had done it for them. For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was sick and in prison and you visited me. He points to their good deeds. Now we know in that story those people weren't doing it to earn heaven. Because how did they respond? Lord, when did we see you in prison and visit you and hungry and thirsty and give you food and drink? They weren't trying to earn heaven, or they would have been keeping a list, right? It came from their regenerate hearts, repentant over sin, trusting in Jesus. You see Jesus everywhere and how you can serve him and want to. And indeed, that goodness will be held up, worked by God, by the way, we don't get credit, but worked by God on the final day. Those who aren't with him, only their evil deeds are shown. I do need to tell you how this Pentecost story concluded and what Peter answered. Brothers, what shall we do? He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. You will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We'd be remiss on Trinity Sunday if we did not mention baptism, right? There, whether you were a child or an adult, God put his name on you. It's all God's action in baptism. It's not what we do. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Creator, the Redeemer, the Sanctifier is at work, forgiving your sins, giving you all of God's power. Indeed, giving you eternal life. And you believe in that, God. There is one more line of the creed that's said negatively. Please understand it in a positive way as we, in conclusion, speak together. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved. But you do. And you are. Amen.